Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared to me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. And I baptized also the house of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. We've been over this scripture before, but he's saying, you know, just he's seeing the state of the church, and he's seeing that there's division in the church, and he's saying that there shouldn't be this way. We should be perfectly joined together. We should be more together than we are. And people are saying, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, and there's different, you know, and that's how the world is today. There's different denominations. And all throughout the Bible, it's saying we're supposed to be united, we're supposed to be together, we're supposed to have the same spirit, the same judgment. And yet when Paul's looking around, he sees so many different splits in different churches. And even today, we see so many different denominations, and it's only gotten worse over time. There's more splits, there's more divisions in all these different churches, more denominations, more organization. And you know, part of the reason is because people are not following God, but they're following a man. And that's exactly what's happening here in Corinthians, is in the letter to the Corinthians, is that, you know, they're saying, I was baptized with this person, that person, but they're not actually following God. They're just so proud of the person that they're baptized of, that they were, you know, just so, like, they held this minister in high respect, so that they would go to them and I was baptized in this person's name. And, you know, and they believe if you weren't baptized in the same minister's name, then, you know, whatever, it doesn't matter. But really, we're supposed to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what we're supposed to be baptized under. And that kind of attitude describes every split, because, you know, even Brother Branham talks about when he's preaching and when he's going different places, he's asking people, are you Presbyterian, or are you Christian? And they would say, oh, I'm Presbyterian, I'm Baptist. He's like, I just asked you, are you Christian? But these people couldn't just say yes to that. Because it's almost as if they didn't identify with Christian. They identified more with being a Baptist or a Pentecostal or Presbyterian or Methodist, more than they identified with actually being a Christian. More than they identified with Christ, they identified with their church. So, and we need to be careful of that, even in the message, where people can get really prideful of the church they go to or the minister, you know, that they like the most. But really, it's not about any of those things. Is about, are you a Christian? Are you following Christ? So, because you can go to any church, you can go to anywhere, and if Christ is there, then you'll be content there. But if you go to churches and you're only following a man, then you only want to go to this church because that minister's there, and I like that minister, and then you forgot to follow Christ. So if you follow Christ, then he'll lead you to the right church. He'll lead you to the right place that'll feed your soul, that'll be good for you, and you'll be edifying the people around you as well. But if you're just following a man, then you say, I was baptized with this person, and then you say, well, I'm, you know, it's almost like I'm not even a Christian. I identify with this church more than I identify with the Christ and the Word and what he actually taught. So that's just a pitfall that people have been getting caught in. And you know, there's a lot of traps like these where we see them, you know, 2,000 years ago. We see the trap of, you know, being identified with a church more than the Word, with Christ. We see that, and these traps continue to happen today. So the spirit keeps getting passed down through generations, and the same traps with the Pharisees, that when Jesus was healing people and ministering to people and the truth was coming forth, they, despite the incredible things that were happening in front of them, people were being healed and getting up and walking, and people were seeing for the first time, people were hearing for the first time, people were able to communicate with other people and see things and see the world and see new colors. And the whole time they're just thinking, well, you raised them up, you did a miracle on the Sabbath, so, you know, you're out of line. And they couldn't see past their own traditions and way of thinking to recognize that God was in front of them healing people. And that same spirit is present today when people, you know, God does things in people's lives, and all people can do is be critical of it. They can't see the goodness in it. They can't see how it's benefited and changed people, but they want to break it down analytically and criticize every little part of it. You know, so we see those same spirits and those things just keep, you know, through generations and generations and generations, those same spirits keep being passed down. And it seems like people just, we don't learn from it, but it's because it's a spirit, and it's the same spirit that people catch. And then it's that same denominational spirit that Paul is seeing here in the Church of the Corinthians. He's seeing that same denominational spirit and how it's splitting the church. Instead of just following Christ, they, you know, it's this man's revelation of Christ, or this man's revelation of Christ, or this man's revelation of Christ. When there's no private interpretation, it's just Christ and what he taught. It's not that one man is going to have a better interpretation of events, but if you look at the Bible, it's going to tell you exactly, you know, what it's trying to teach you, what it's trying to tell you, and what exactly what Christ taught. So once we get off of that, then we get into, you know, we have to follow something. So we get into something else. And when people don't find answers in the church or in the Bible, and they don't look in the right places, or come humbly, have a humble approach, and then they go elsewhere and devote their attention and their energy elsewhere. But people always have that thirst and desire for something to follow something, and it's meant for God. But when you lose Christ in that, you start denominating. When you denominate, people start to ask questions, and people who aren't, you know, following a man or the denomination, they ask questions. They don't get those questions answered, and then they fall away from church completely. But sometimes it's not even always their fault, but it's the fault of the people in the church who have failed to actually digest what's in the scriptures and to be able to explain that or give answers to someone who has a lot of questions. And then when that person can't get their questions answered, you know, I mean, they have no, they're not getting what they need, so they're just going to go elsewhere to get it. So it's all of our duties to read the Bible, to study the scriptures, to get in the Word. You know, when people have questions, when people have concerns, you know, it's not that, oh, well, just ask the minister or ask somebody, but you should have the revelation for yourself that you can explain, you know, what the Bible is and what the gospel is and how to get the new birth. And so it's our job to be well-studied and know what we're talking about. So we can have a revelation for ourselves, but also we can help others who may not understand. So that when others come to us with questions, you know, they don't fall away simply because, you know, no one can really help them out. And that happens very often. Even the Pharisee spirit, you know, there's a lot of, I was actually surprised when I was in college, you know, I would talk to a lot of people about, you know, I don't drink, I don't smoke, and I don't do all those things. And then certain things I just don't do because of, I believe that, you know, the Bible teaches a certain way. And a lot of people were like, you know, good for you. That's good for you. And that's a good thing. And they almost had this desire that they wanted to follow a path like that. But every time they always talked about how whenever they would go to a church, you know, it was always just such a critical environment, and they just didn't feel welcome. And you know, every little thing they did was being criticized. And so, you know, these churches were more like the Pharisees than they were like Jesus, you know, because they couldn't just accept people as they were. They couldn't, you know, see that, you know, people have to start somewhere. And then, you know, maybe they keep coming to church, and maybe they'll start to learn the doctrinal things and start to dress accordingly and live their life accordingly. But they couldn't just let someone come as they were without, you know, being critical or making, you know, mean jokes or talking behind their back, and it would get around to them, and they'd hear about it. So it's just, we have to be cautious of the environment that we create. Is it a critical environment? Is it a, you know, is it an overbearing environment, or is it a loving environment where people are welcome to come, you know, no matter what race, what color, what they believe, where they're from, you know, their background. But, you know, maybe if someone were to come in here with tattoos and ear piercings, maybe if we could just allow them to be who they are and talk to them about what we believe and just be honest and open with them, and not just turn them away because of how they look or that we think they look weird. But you could save a soul to Christ if you just have the patience with somebody. You know, the Bible says, in your patience possess your souls. And that's part of that is having someone maybe who looks very off, who looks very worldly, but just being open to talking to them and being open to, you know, letting them come to church or letting them, you know, experience what this is like, and not to be overly critical, because everyone had to start somewhere. And we're not any better than them. The only difference is that we've accepted Christ. So there's nothing better about us that's not, you know, that than a worldly person, but it's that we've accepted Christ. So if someone just comes in with a different outlook on life or a different life experience, we just don't immediately judge and criticize them and have that, you know, the spirit of the Pharisees. Because you know, even when Jesus was there, they talked about who he was hanging out with, who he was talking with, and they thought it was a big problem that he would even talk to these people. But he was a doctor there to heal the sick, and not just there to just the doctor doesn't just stay with the healthy people. He goes to heal the sick as well. So that's the same spirit that Paul's seeing here, is that people are more into the person, the idea of being baptized under a certain person, than they are of actually following Christ. And that's what makes the cross of Christ of none effect. In verse 18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are saved, it is the power of God." So after he's talking about the division and the splits and the denominations, now he's trying to bring them back together. Because he's like, because, you know, they see like, oh, well, they're a believer, but they believe this way, or they're a believer and they believe that way. But Christ, but Paul is like, you know, we're all on the same side. Because for those who perish, it's foolishness. But to us, which are saved, it's the power of God. And we're all trying to unite under the power of God. So it's not about, you know, Apollos, who Apollos is, you know, church, or Cephas' church, but it's about God's church. And if we're united under the power of God. So it's not like, you know, denominations tend to have very be very hostile towards one another. And part of that is that we don't realize we should be on the same side. You know, there's believers and unbelievers, and those are the two sides. And so we're all believers here, and that's what Paul's trying to do, is like unite them back. Cause so not that, you know, the different churches and different this and that, but we all follow Christ, and we all you know, want to see the power of God. Because those who perish is foolishness, but to us, we know it's the power of God, and we are on that same side. In verse 19, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made the foolish, not made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And that's a problem for a lot of Christians, is that they don't like, you know, part of being a Christian is being kind of criticized or scorned or being seen as odd or weird or whatever the case may be, because of how differently you believe. You know, and the Bible says, those who suffer with him will reign with him. So part of that, but it's really, really bothersome people. So it's not really for everyone, because it's really bothersome people to be seen as foolish or to be seen as odd or different. So they try to see, you know, our church is getting bigger. What do other people do that, you know, maybe that people like, you know? And they try to be the cool church, or they try to dress trendy, or they try to get like, oh, what does a concert look like? And how do people really enjoy concerts? Let's make our church like a concert. Let's make this, or let's make that. And you know, if they want to do that, that's up to them. But it's not the way that, you know, what the world likes is not going to be exactly what God likes. So, you know, the world might like a concert, they might like a lot of noise, they might like, you know, the lights, they might like a famous singer to come in, and the world might go crazy over that. But when it's in God's temple, we can't focus on what the world likes or what's cool or what's trendy or what's cool at the time. But we have to focus on what God desires and what would be pleasing to God in this scenario. You know, regardless of whether we get a million views on YouTube or 1,000 people show up to our events or how many, you know, all those things, but is this going to be pleasing to God? And when people start to denominate and they don't want to be seen as foolish, they don't want to be seen as off, you know, because even in this day, 2,000 years ago, they're seeing Christians as foolish for the things they believe. And and Paul and the disciples, they just, and the Christians at that time, they have to just not worry about that. It's not, don't really care. You know, they're going to be seen as foolish, and that's fine, because God has chosen their foolishness to manifest himself, you know, in every one of them. So even if the world sees it as foolish, even if the world sees it as boring, even if the world is like, this is kind of, you know, not very entertaining, but, you know, it's not meant to be for entertainment. It's meant to be for edification. It's meant to for your betterment, for your edification of your soul, that you can get closer to Christ and get a deeper understanding and revelation of who he is and how he can benefit you in your life and how you can serve him. So just don't worry about, and even in a personal life, don't worry about looking foolish. Don't worry about, you know, wearing a skirt. Don't worry about how you dress or people thinking that you're odd for, you know, being a Christian or going to church every Sunday or whatever you, whatever the case may be. People are going to think you're different, and that's okay. Because, you know, what they see as foolishness is what God is going to, that's what God likes about you, is your foolishness, the way that the other people see foolishness. For God, it's the best part, and it's pleasing to him. So that's what we need to worry about. It's not what other people think. In verse 22, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews, a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks, foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. And that shows the uniting aspect of the word. Because, you know, and that's why it's such an issue when Paul's seeing these different divisions, is that he's saying people are going off in their separate ways, and they're taking more pride in who they were baptized by than they are of being, you know, baptized by Christ. And, you know, and he even acknowledges here that the Jews and the Greeks see things differently, because the Jews want a sign and the Greeks look for wisdom and more in the scientific world. But then he says, we teach Christ crucified. The Jews, it's a stumbling block, and the Greeks are just foolishness. So the Jews, because of their previous understanding of the scripture, they struggle to understand, you know, what Jesus is and who he was while he was on the earth. And the Greeks just think it's dumb. It's just foolishness. Like, why? Like, it's just, you know, they're just lunatics. They're just believing crazy things. And then in verse 24, he says, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, the Christ of God, the Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. So the Jews and the Greeks, who are already kind of opposing each other, they're seeing things so differently. Their mindsets are so different that he's calling out, you know, the Jews are religious, but they just don't see it, and the Greeks are just more scientific, and they think it's stupid. But he's saying that God is calling them both, and that the Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. So he's saying that both Jews and Greeks can be called, regardless of their different backgrounds or different histories and how different their mindsets are. That's how God unites people, and once God, you know, and that's why he's saying there shouldn't be division in the church. If a Jew can be born again, and a Greek can be born again, and they can cohabit and coexist, then why are we, as people who are supposed to be born again, not able to coexist with each other? And that's the real issue, is that if we can see that people who are completely different can get the new birth and then just be closer than you've ever seen anyone else, and yet we're supposed to all have the new birth, and yet we're split up. So that this is a huge issue here, and now we have to question, you know, our experience and what we really believe, and if we're actually following the will of God the way we're supposed to. Are we actually living the Bible? Are we actually living the Word? Have we actually been born again? Do we actually have these virtues? Are we actually living a Christian life? Is our life actually worthy of the gospel? So there shouldn't be this division. If people from different backgrounds can come together and God can unite these people, we as born-again Christians should not have so many divisions and denominations and splits and disagreements. So the fact that these disagreements exist is a lack of scriptural understanding. It's a lack of, you know, really getting into the Word. Because if we're one with the Word, then we'll be one with each other. Brother Brennan even talks about how, you know, his attitude towards the people would be his attitude towards Christ. So if the Corinthians, you know, could take that into account, you know, then maybe there'd be more unison. They'd be more friendly. They'd be more together than they were previously, because these divisions just shouldn't be happening. If the Spirit of Christ is in these people, and they should be united. in verse 25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye sell your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. So God, I mean, Paul here is saying that, you know, these, like we said before, the things that the world sees as foolish is what God uses, you know, for his benefit. And then he actually uses these things to confound the wise. So he uses the fact that, you know, maybe the world sees it as odd and maybe they see it as different. And that's actually to confound the wise, to confound the noble people, to confound the celebrities, the populace, the powerful people. And maybe it's to confound them because they just can't see it. They can't see it the way that God is bringing it forth, and they have to come by faith. You know, if it was so easily provable, you know, maybe a lot of people would fake it, or they would have an imitation of it. But God is doing it in this way to actually confuse the people who seem wise, who seem capable. And so that you have to accept it by faith, and that you can't just, you know, be so just plain about it. You have to really come by faith and really come the way God, you know, wants you to come, and surrender yourself, you know. And that's a big part of coming, is surrendering yourself, surrendering your own understanding of things. And if you lean too much to your own understanding and you don't have the humility, if you're not humble, then, you know, you're not going to be able to really come to that revelation. And I just want to skip to verse 31. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And that is a big part of the denominational issue, is that, you know, people split off and they want to be seen as the cool church. They want to be seen as the popular church, or the church people go to where, you know, to have a good time. And sometimes they like that attention. They like the praise that goes back to them. They like, you know, oh, well, we have this, we have that, we have this great, you know, facility, and we have all these different things. But, you know, God's not going to share his glory with anyone. And that's why you can't follow a man, because a man's always going to lead you down the wrong path. But you have to follow God. And if the men, you know, the pastor of the church or the leader of the church puts God first, and everything else will just fall in line. And that's why it says that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So there's nothing else we should glory in, nothing else we should put our attention to. It shouldn't be like, how cool is our church, how big is our church, you know, how famous is our preachers or pastors. But it's just about, you know, glorying in the Lord. And if we're glorying in the Lord, then we're doing the right thing. So God bless you. You're dismissed.